Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. We're having a special Friday night edition of the show, and I think that's awesome. Holiday weekend. I'm actually home alone this weekend. Got my faithful companion Mei Ling with me, but yeah, my better half's in Atlanta at a big cosplay convention. So lots of Westerns and movies about war have been watching. No, actually, I've been watching that new Jack Ryan series on Amazon. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. I like that kind of stuff. I'm very excited, though, to take a break from all of that. Tonight, we've got a fantastic band on. I've been listening to these guys for the past few weeks, and man, good stuff. I'd like to introduce Mr. Jeff Duncan, guitarist of the awesome band DC4. Jeff, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, man. Fantastic. How is out west right now? Is it still wicked hot, or is the weather broke for you guys?
Well, I live in Las Vegas, so
it's always hot.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. It can get really cold, too. Some people don't really
realize that,
but it can get pretty cold here. But yeah, it's hot. I of course chose to move to the desert about 5 years or so ago, and I like it out here. But sometimes it's so hot you walk out the door and go, "Are you kidding me?"
I this is many, many years ago. I went through a heartbreak, and I was living in San Diego at the time, and I was going to show her and everybody, and I just decided to move to Vegas. So I moved up there in July, rented a place off of Craigslist, didn't even know what it looked like. And I moved to 10th and Ogden. You know, I didn't know any better. And the rent was cheap, but it was quite the summer.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
I have fun in Vegas. But I would tell people, it's like when you go outside, it's like God has a hairdryer on you, like full blast. Always windy.
It can be pretty outrageous. Yeah, a little too over the top for me sometimes, but fortunately I am from Southern California, so I am used to warm weather, but I don't know that I'll ever get used to that.
I gotcha. I live in South Florida now, and it's hot here, but temperature wise it's not that bad. It's the humidity, man. It makes it feel like it's 20 degrees hotter than it is. But yeah, it's part of it.
Well, at least you got.
So you were, that's true. That's very true. So you were living in L.A., moved to Vegas and whatnot. No, are the other guys in the band still out in L.A. and you guys like do the commute thing, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, my brothers live in L.A. and so does Rowan Robertson, but he comes back and forth because he does some work out here. He plays in a show called the Rock Vault, so he does that. So he comes in and out of town, you know, quite a bit. But he doesn't live here. I'm the only one who moved here.
I gotcha. Well, you know, the cool thing about that is, we all know Jeff now, so that means we got a place to stay. No, I'm kidding. but I imagine everybody, when I was living there, everybody that came to visit, I'm like, there's world-class hotels and restaurants and everywhere. You guys want to stay down here in the hood with me? And they're like, well, yeah,
right.
The price is right. You know?
Yeah.
Part of it. Although when I lived in San Diego, people would, every time somebody came to town, they'd always want to go to the zoo. I think I went to the zoo so many times the animals started recognizing me. They're like, here he is again. Oh, boy.
Yeah, if I have people come out here, I always tell them I'm not going to the Strip. I don't want to go up there.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Yeah. It's expensive. Oh, man.
And annoying.
So that's cool. So did you grow up in L.A. or were you a transplant? How did that work?
Yeah, I was born in L.A.
I got
was
you.
There. I lived there up until I moved here to Vegas. So yeah, I'm a Los Angelino through and through.
Nice. Now, were you like the music guy growing up? You know, you were the guitar player. You know, there's always, I'm a painter by trade. I've known musicians my whole life, and all of my friends basically are either making movies or music, and it's always been that way. But there's always usually in a band or that one guy that's in several bands when they're young that gets everybody to rehearse and takes it very seriously and makes it happen. Were you that type of person?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, I decided pretty early in my life that that's what I wanted to do. You know, and when I
gotcha.
Say early in my life, I'm talking like probably 10 years old. So, yeah, I just pursued. I wanted to be in a band, and I wanted to play music, and I wanted to do that pretty early on. Started making up songs, and then first I was making up songs, and I started writing songs, and then down the road I became a songwriter, which are different. So, but yeah, I've been doing it my whole life. I've never really stopped.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I have to ask, because every guitar player I've known, do you have in one of your closets, or perhaps several, the big milk crate of broken guitar amp cords? Because someday you'll meet somebody who knows how to repair all those, and they're just too expensive to throw out.
Well, I have been in that position, although I probably have some cables here I don't need. But I have I'm lucky because I have a bunch of brand new cables. I signed up with a cable company called Pig Hog, and they have been really good to me. I threw a lot of stuff away, and I gave a lot of stuff away. So I don't have as many.
I gotcha.
I have to check them.
I gotcha. That always seemed to be the case. And you could tell, I could tell with my guitar friends, if the girl they, you know, started dating, if it was real serious, if they started, you know, giving stuff away and, well, we got to get rid of some of these pedals, make some room and, you know, this or that. I'm like, oh, man, it's serious. He's in love.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, that's funny. Let me ask you this. Now, as a guitar player, was I imagine you remember your first guitar. Do you still have it, or had that been traded up long ago?
No, I still have it.
That's awesome.
And funny story. Yeah, it's a real piece of junk that I actually got off this kid. This kid came up to me. I probably was about 12 years old. He came up to me, and he's like, look what I have. And it was this electric guitar, and I'd been plunking away on this acoustic little acoustic guitar that my cousin gave me that she found in a junkyard or something. And so I had been trying to make noise on that, and he had this electric guitar. And I was like, I want that. And he was like, well, you know, he wanted to sell it. And I had my, BMX bicycle at the time, and it was all up. And I said, well, what do you want? I'll trade you something for it. And he said, give me all your pads. You know how the BMX bikes had the pads on them, and
right.
I couldn't get those pads off that bike faster. Oh, you got it, man.
Oh man, bruised knees were to follow, and elbows, and everything else. But you know,
all for
rock and roll.
And that guitar, actually, I had thrown it into my parents' garage, and left it in my parents' garage, and they've passed on now, but. When my mom, my dad passed on first and then my mom, but I went to the garage one day when she was still alive and I was looking for that guitar. I was like, where's that guitar? Where's my guitar? My first guitar. I don't know. And then when she passed away, we had to clean out the house and do all that. And I was cleaning out the closet in her bedroom, and there it was, hidden away in the corner. She actually hid it for me so I wouldn't lose it.
That's awesome. And it wasn't out in the garage. It was safe in the house. See? She had your back.
Yeah, she hid it from me because she knew I was a, you know, musician. you know, moving all over the place all the time, and she didn't want me to lose that guitar, so she hid it from me. And I have it here now, and it's actually hanging on the wall in my music room here.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about, you know, stuff we've had and no longer have. And I, you know, I have no idea where 99% of it is, you know, or what happened to it. You know, like big trucks didn't show up one night and take everything away. It just comes and goes. I mean, over the years, you know, since I was a kid. But I was thinking just of the amount of volume of, like, stuff, you know, like model cars, and Star Wars guys, and just stuff, you know, cassette tapes. I could probably fill a U-Haul truck with all the cassette tapes I've owned over the years.
Yeah.
Not one in my house now. I have no idea where all those are, where they wound up.
Yeah.
No clue. Musicians are worse, though, because you guys always – let me ask you this. Now, you have a music room. Doesn't surprise me. How many guitars are on the wall? Quite a few?
Yeah, I have I don't have as many as you would think, maybe, compared to some other people. I don't like to I don't like to have guitars sitting around that I don't play. I'm not one of those guys.
Right.
I don't collect guitars. But I probably have – I don't know. I probably have 7 or 8 electric guitars, a couple of acoustics. I have a bass, and I kind of keep it somewhat. I mean, maybe to some people that would seem like a lot, but to me, it's not. You know, I don't. You know, you're talking about all the stuff you have over years. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many guitars I've been through, but I mean, if I had them all, they'd probably fill this whole place. But you know, they come and go. But right now, the guitars I have, I really, really love, and I play all of them, so they all get used. I think that guitars need to be played, and if I have something that's sitting there too long, I'll usually just, you know, sell it to someone who wants to buy it because they want to play it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you, man. I hear you, and it's, you know, these are the tools of your trade. This is your professional musician, you know, this is what you do. These are important tools of the trade, you know. Let me ask you this. Do you you probably play every day, I imagine. There's a reason I ask that. It's because a lot of young people listen, or I should say people trying to break in to either music or whatever. In my case, I get people all the time asking me, you know, oh, I want to, you know, I want to paint. And I'm like, well, you have to draw 3 hours a day at a minimum. You know, you got to learn your craft. And that learning never stops. You know, so just get ready. But I imagine with music, it's the same way. Do you find if you don't, like you go on vacation or something and you don't play for a while, it takes you a couple hours to get back into that zone?
Well, I don't know if it takes me a long time to get back into the zone. You know, I just, well, maybe that's correct. Yeah, it could be like that. Or sometimes it, you know, I'll just be like jonesing so bad to play again that I'll be playing really well, you know. It kind of depends, you know. But I know what you're talking about. It can go both ways, and I don't like, you know, when I don't feel like I'm in that zone, I don't like it at all, and I do the very best I can to get back there as soon as possible.
I'm the same way with my painting. It's you know, sometimes it's you just. I don't know what it is. It's this will sound really kind of new agey, and I hate for it to sound like this. We're not going to play any NU, I promise, ladies and gentlemen. But no, it seems to me, it's just been my experience and people I've known, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, everything just seems to click better into place. And the same thing is when you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing, I'm saying in life, you know, yeah, man. Bad things click into play, you know, it just, things work out for when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, is I found, you know, and I don't know if that's cosmic or what, or if you're just, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, and for you,
yeah.
It's, you know, rocking out and making music, and, you know, doing all this. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I pick up a guitar, I don't really think of it as practice. I just enjoy playing. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy playing the guitar. And so I don't really look at it like that. I look at it as practice. And in fact, you know, really, and this applies today, like I didn't take up guitar because I wanted to, like, you know, be a rock star or get, you know, mm-hmm. attention or girls. I really, you know, right. Some people don't believe me when I say that, but that's not why I started playing, and that's still not why I play. I just really enjoy making music and playing the guitar. It makes me feel complete when I'm doing that. And it's just a part of who I am. So that's a good thing, because, you know, if I look at it as like practice, then I feel like it's a chore.
It's a chore.
That sounds
right.
You know, that sounds like, you know, something you don't want to do. And I think instinctively as an artist, I'll resist that kind of thing, you know, like practice. I don't do that, you know? So playing every day,
I can find 15 other things to do. Right.
Well, you know, playing is playing. Playing sounds like fun. I'm playing, you know? So I prefer to look at it that way. And that's really how I feel. And, you know, fortunately, as a result of playing, my whole life, I've been able to do some things, you know, and I feel real fortunate right. about that. And it's sustained me being able to do what I love, you know, for many years.
No, that's awesome. I mean, that's the dream, you know, people want to do that. Well, I should say that's the musician's dream. That's the artist's dream, you know, to be able to do what your gig is, and be able to support yourself doing it. You know, that's a good, man, that's a big thing. And it's real cool when that's the case, you know.
There's definitely times where it's not a cakewalk, and it's feast or famine sometimes, and it's not, you know, something that everybody, you know, it's not for everybody. It's not a lifestyle for everybody, you know. That's why, you know, like I was saying earlier, if somebody is playing music for reasons other than that they love to play, they probably won't be able to plow through the hard times, you know, because that's where it gets real, and that's where you really find out how much you want to do what it is you want to do, because you're willing to do whatever you got to do to be that, to be who you want, you know. You know, anybody out there who's younger and you're playing music because you think that you're going to find a job that's going to give you a weekly paycheck, you know, that's the bottom
line.
Exactly.
Things like health insurance and things like that, those aren't bad.
Yeah. That's the thing.
I think a lot of people not in the music business or the entertainment business, I should say, they fail to realize that, you know, we're self-employed. You may be in a band or whatnot, but I mean, it's not like, you get a paycheck every week, you know, and and I'll tell you, when you meet that, Mrs. Wright or Mr. or whatever the case may be, man, they got to be a real cool person to be able to put up with that too. Because that isn't for everybody, you know.
I wouldn't want to be with me. I wouldn't. I just would.
You're a fantastic guitar player, though. So tell us about DC4. You've got your two brothers in the band, and Rowan, also brother from another mother. How did you guys all come together? How did DC4 coalesce?
Well, that goes back actually a long way, probably around 94, 95. That was the first time I was, as you probably know, you know, and still am a member of Armored Saint. And, I was in Armored Saint, and Armored Saint kind of disbanded because John Bush, our singer, joined Anthrax. So that was the end of that. So after that happened, I put together a band very briefly called Bird of Prey with my brother Sean. And that just kind of didn't really feel right, and it kind of fizzled away. But in the meantime, what I was doing at home was I was writing these songs. After that band Bird of Prey disbanded, I just wanted to take some time off from being in a band.
I've been in a band since
I was in seventh grade, and I just wanted to, and I'd already been, prior to that, I'd already been in the band Odin and done that whole, my younger years. So I just kind of took a year off and was writing these songs, and I was singing on the demos, and just kind of started talking to my brothers, and there was a guitar player who was the first guitar player besides me in DC4, a guy named Highland Church. He was on our very first album, our first EP and our first album. And he was a guy I knew from around who I thought was a really great player, and he's super sweetheart of a guy. And we just got together and started jamming these songs, and the whole singing thing was, I was like, well, you know, this sounds great, you know, let's get a singer. And, you know, my brothers were kind of like, well, we thought you were going to do it, because I sang on all the demos. And so I said, okay. I wasn't really planning on doing that, but so I just started focusing on that and saying, okay, I'll sing the songs. I'll be the singer. You know, cool. We don't have to deal with a singer. That's great. That sounds good to me. You know, so I just kind of focused on that and, you know, started really taking singing somewhat seriously. You know, I'll always be a guitar player first. Like I won't sing for like, I'll never go like sing for a band in front of a band or anything like that. I just sing for DC4. You know, I'm one of the guitar players who sings the songs. That's all that is. But we made our first album. We made an EP called Mood Swings, and we made an album called Volume One. And the guitar player, Highland Church, he'd had some health issues and some things happened, and he ended up departing the band. And, you know, to make a long story short, I met Rowan. I did these jams. I used to do these jams with this guy out here in L.A., out in L.A. called named Happening Harry. And he would do, like, these jams, and a lot of different people would show up, and he had Rowan there one night. And I was very familiar with what Rowan was because of the deal thing. Excuse me. And so I met Rowan, and we jammed, you know, a few songs, and I just, you know, we just really clicked on guitar. So DC4 was looking for a guitar player at the time. We'd been kind of laying low for a while, trying, you know, waiting for the right guy. Because I didn't want to audition people and go through all that nonsense. So, you know, I met him, and he was kind of free to do it, was kind of itching to get back into a rock and roll band again. And because he'd been playing, but he'd been doing a lot of different sort of things. And he came over to our rehearsal place, and he'd gone over a few of our tunes, and it just sounded fantastic. And right there, I was like, "You want to be in the band?" We were like, "You're in, you're in." And he was like, "Yeah, I want to do this." And so, you know, that's kind of like from where the band began to where it changed over to Rowan and kind of where we're at now. We made two albums with Rowan, three now. We made the album Explode, we made the album Electric Ministry, and now the new one's coming out, Atomic Hybrid.
That's fantastic. That's cool, man. And that's a good lesson in there, too, for, you know, the younger vocalists out there. Never be somebody that the band has to deal with. You know, that's a good life lesson for you.
I've always said that the reason that I'm not a problem as the singer is because I've been humbled over many years hauling gear. Singers never have to bring any gear. They bring a microphone. They're not humble enough sometimes. You know, not all of them. I have to say this because it's true, is that in Arbor Saint, John Bush is one of the best guys and singers I think I have ever or will ever deal with. He's the best. He really is. True pro and a great guy.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com. Well, let's play a track. Now, this isn't out yet. Atomic Highway comes out. When does it come out?
It comes out September 15th.
September 15th. That's not that long away. I mean, a couple weeks.
Yes,
that's awesome.
14th to 15th.
Very cool, very cool. So, folks, you're going to be hearing some stuff. This isn't out yet. So we've got four tracks here. Jeff, we've got Queen of Angelus, Atomic Highway, Dominique, and Castaway. What should we hit people with first, do you think?
Oh, I think the let's do the Queen of Angels.
That sounds good. Good, good, good. It's a great track. Here it is, everybody. Check this out. DC4.
Travel on. Who's gonna drive us?
Well, it's Queen of Angels, fantastic track, DC4. This is on the new upcoming album. It's out in a couple weeks, September 15th, Atomic Highway. And we've got Jeff Duncan on, guitarist extraordinaire and all-around cool cat. You know, he's a Vegas boy. You got to be cool if you live in Vegas.
Yeah, well, I live in Vegas. I'm a Los Angeles boy, but I'm here showing Vegas how to be cool. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Well, you've definitely turned in to a local, though, because, you know, at the beginning of the show, you're like, when people visit me, I say, I'm not going to the Strip. No locals in Vegas go to the Strip, ever.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I will say that, you know, the music community and the musicians that I've met here are just really fantastic people and some real talent out here and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's really great in that respect. There's a really, really cool sense of community among the musicians here. You know, I mean, even the guitar players I know, you know, that I've met here, it's all like, we're all giving each other cables and stomp boxes and, you know,
nice.
Little piece of gear, you know, oh, you need this, here, I got an extra one. You know, it's like that. It's not really like that in L.A.
Right.
But here, it's very much like that. And it's really cool, you know.
Yeah, it is. I dig Las Vegas. It's interesting. And it's interesting the fact that there are a lot of musicians that live in Vegas of all genres. They treat musicians well there, I found, for the most part. You don't hear people complain too much, although it is a 24-hour town. You know, I went and saw many shows that started at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, what time are you on?
Oh yeah.
Four.
Well, the cool thing about Vegas is there is no such thing as a musician not getting paid for working. That's true. A really awesome thing. You know, it just doesn't exist. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll do the gig. How much is it? And it's not like a big deal. It's just that's the norm. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not the norm in a place like L.A. L.A., unfortunately, with the music scene, which died a long time ago. A lot of people don't like
right.
to hear that, but it's dead. It's over. It was really fantastic at one period of time a long time ago, but that's long gone. You know, but now it's kind of like, you know, you musician. You know, it's kind of like that. You know, you're just
right.
you're the scum of the earth. You're the lowest common denominator, you know. And that's unfortunate, especially considering what it once was in terms of music. You know, things change. Things change. I mean, look at Seattle's a ghost town now. Things change, you know.
Absolutely, and you know, until the next day, until it isn't, and it, you know, it's like the waves at the ocean. You know, they roll in and out. It just it happens. So tell me about Atomic Highway. Did you have every musician I know, every songwriter I know, I should say, usually has at least 48 cards in their pocket. What I'm saying is a lot of tracks that they've recorded over the years or ideas they've had, usually finished product almost, you know. Did you have all these already, or did you start from scratch and write all this whole album?
Well, it's kind of a combination of both.
Okay.
When I moved out here, I started writing for this record. And I wrote quite a bit of it when I lived here. There's a couple songs, like the song Castaway, which is one of the songs you're going to play. That was
mm-hmm.
a song that I wrote back when I was probably about 20 years old. And
really?
My brother, it was pretty close to how it is now. It's a little different. But my brother Matt remembered that idea and said, yeah, we should do that song. And I was like, you think so? You think so? And he actually brought it up for the last record. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's just so old, you know. I never finished it, you know. And, you know, it never got played by a band. You know, I wrote it for Odin back then. But he kind of brought it up again, and I revisited it. And when it was all revamped, it was like, that's pretty cool. You were right. It is a cool song, you know, and it doesn't sound – even though I wrote it in probably 1987, it doesn't sound like 1987. It really doesn't. So,
right.
You know, kudos to Matt Duncan for doing that, you know, for pushing that issue, because it came out really great. And then
nice.
The song Dominique was written. We were jamming. It was Matt again. He had this riff, and we were just jammed on this riff in a rehearsal. And I had my four track going in the rehearsal room, and I just pressed record, and we were just jamming on this riff. It came up with a couple changes, and I found that CD. I'd burned it onto a CD and found it, put it on. I'm like, that's really cool. And this was, you know, it was quite some time back. I think it was before we did our first album with Rowan. And I dug that out and kind of put a song around it. I called my friend Patrick to collaborate with me on some lyrics for it, and he did a great job. And so that one was kind of old. And then trying to think, everything else was pretty much written when I moved. The song Atomic Highway I wrote in L.A. before I moved out here, the song Atomic Highway. But
I gotcha.
Everything else is pretty much written, you know, to Vegas. I just hunkered down and started writing some songs.
Nice, nice. Well, let's play one. Should we play Go With Cats Away next?
Yeah, let's do that.
Cool. Here it is, everybody. This is DC4, Castaway.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. That was Castaway, DC4. Fantastic track on their upcoming album, Atomic Highway. I was just talking to guitar player Jeff Duncan, and he informed me that you can pre-order the album. It's not out yet. It didn't come out until September 15th. But if you go over, we have a link up to High Vol Music. You can pre-order it. It's that's all set. And you're going to want to do that so you get it. Good stuff, Jeff. Good stuff.
I'm glad you like it.
I do. I do. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you two episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
It's the two megastars summer mashup, the awesome iPhone, on the Rockstar Metro PCS Network. Get the iPhone you've always wanted for $0, so you can jam without limits.
It's a hit. Get an iPhone SE on us when you switch. Metro PCS.
Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Requires port in of number not currently active on T-Mobile Network or on Metro PCS in past 90 days to an unlimited LTE plan. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocksgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L-A-P-O-T-H-I-C-A-I-R-E-U-N-I-Q-U-E. .com, L'ApothecaryUnique.com. Well, you know, it's really good. And, you know, I think we were off the air when we were talking about that. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they were, you know, the same old, you know, bitching about, oh, well, there's no good music. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. I listen to new music that's fantastic all the time. And this is a good example of that. Tons of stuff out there. Yes, it isn't going to be the same thing you heard the first time you kissed a girl, but you know what? It is for somebody. So, you know, there's that.
And there's lots of talent out there. There's a ton of good talent out there, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of website links, not only do we have High Vol Music's link up, we also have DC4's link up to the website and whatnot. It's very cool. When you get over there, there's all kinds of links and their social media and all of that. I suggest you like and follow and subscribe and do all that kind of stuff. It's very important. And, you know, you get to keep updated with the band and what they've got going on and this and that. And Jeff, you're the type of guy that's always got something going on. And I think that's awesome.
I like to
do you ever take
busy,
a day off? No, you don't?
Here and there, you know. I mean, if the truth of the matter is if I'm not gigging or doing something like that or writing, I'm thinking about the next move. That's just kind of how I'm – that's kind of how I'm built. I'm just sort of that way. I'm, you know, I have my little home, my music room here and my recording gear, and I'll be, you know, or I'll just tweak on guitars, which is something I really like to do. I like to work on my own guitars and do that whole thing. It's usually something related to that, you know, or I'm fixing something or dialing in an amp or something related to it, you know. I just love it. Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. That's cool. Now I have to ask you, you know, like I said, I'm a painter. I'm a graphics guy. I'm a visual guy. I really, really dig the cover of Atomic Highway. That's fantastic, man. I don't know which artist that is, but it's awesome.
That cover was drawn for us. It was some years back. We hired a guy named Richard Sanchez who did the initial drawing, and it was a pretty big drawing done with different it was hand-drawn using different size points of Sharpies. That's how he did it. It's all done like that.
Oh, wow.
And just really detailed and really good. And and we kept it. We made some t-shirts of that in black and white at one point for a brief run. And that was that. And we had this thing laying around. And my brother Sean actually came up with the name Atomic Highway. He said, you should write a song called Atomic Highway. And I said, yeah, that sounds cool. And we, you know, ended up naming the album that. And then we thought, well, wouldn't that drawing be perfect for the cover? And
absolutely.
So we took it and we sent it to a friend of ours, a great guy named Andy Jolliffe, who put it in the computer and colored it and added all the color and the whole layout. He did the whole layout and colored the picture and just did a fantastic job. And it really, I mean, that picture was already cool to begin with. So after he colored it, it was like, wow, it really is a cool drawing. It really is. It has motion, you know, that's what I like about it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I'm telling you, the detail work, now, this is coming from somebody who draws. This would be a hard paint or drawing to draw, a hard graphic to draw. The detail work in the boots alone, let alone the – I mean, it just goes on and on. It's a great, great piece of art. I dig
that
a lot.
The artist who drew it initially, Richard Sanchez, he's done a lot of things, a lot of posters, just a lot of different things. He's had some art shows. I went to one of his art shows. And he is pretty well known amongst, you know, the cool people, I guess. But he's a really talented guy. He's not just, you know, people know who he is. He's not just some like friend who drew it. I think his work just in that picture alone says that he is a true artist and very, very good at what he does. So,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, we paid him to do that drawing and everything, but when I saw it, it was worth every penny. It was just like, wow, this is awesome.
That's awesome. Very cool. What should we play next? Should we do Atomic Highway or Dominique? We've got them both on deck.
Well, why don't we do Dominique, and then we can close with the title track.
That's awesome. Here it is, everybody. This is DC4, Dominique.
Girl, she's
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. That was Dominique off the new DC4. It's out in a couple weeks. New album, Atomic Highway. We've got Jeff Duncan on with us, guitar player extraordinaire. I like that track, Dominique. And you say this is one of your earlier tracks you had kind of worked on and then revisited it. Revisited is that
yeah.
the word?
Yeah, that was
for the album.
That was a riff. That was a riff that belonged to my brother Matt Duncan, and I kind of revisited it later and put a song around it. And I got to give a shout out to my friend Patrick Battagliano, who wrote the lyrics on that song, because we had a song on our last album, or on our first album, no, on the album Explode, which is two albums ago, called Candy Cane, and it was a pretty popular song. And for us,
right.
And it kind of had that shuffle feel, that shuffle, you know, same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't get that Candy Cane song out of my head with the shuffle. So I needed somebody to come in and have a whole other vocal approach to it, so I wouldn't repeat myself, you know, because I hate that. I don't want to repeat myself.
Right.
So
right.
I brought him in, and he just wrote these lyrics that were so. I was like, I want it to be about this. I had, like, the kind of what I wanted it to be about, and he just knocked it out of the park. Just wrote these great lyrics, came up with some great phrasing and all that stuff. So, he just said, yeah, just whatever, I don't care. Just give me credit. I don't care, you know. I've met so many cool people.
Nice. Well, you know, and that's another good lesson there for folks. Surround yourself with cool people. Makes life a lot easier. And
yeah.
A lot more fun. And you get invited to a lot of parties.
The only trade-off to that is you got to be cool and treat people right, too.
Exactly. Absolutely. The golden rule. Treat people how you want to be treated, you know.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true. absolutely. Hey, we have to give a shout-out, too, to these fine folks over at MBM Music LLC. We have a link up to them as well. If you... are in some sort of creative project, you're in a band or what have you, well, they're good people to have in your corner, so get a hold of them. They've got some fantastic monthly subscriptions, and they'll handle all your stuff, man, from just head to foot. It's good stuff, and they do a bang-up job over there, Allison and the whole gang. And, of course, also bringing us tonight together is High Vol Music, fantastic label, and Bill over there, Bill Chavis, is just first rate. And you had a shout out you wanted to give Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Bill Metoyer, who recorded that album for us, Atomic Highway. He also did our last record, Electric Ministry, and he just did such a great job on this record, and he's been so good to us, and he's a truly talented engineer / producer. He's allowed me to co-produce with him, and we make a good team. You know, I think recording, producing DC4 anyway. We do get a DC4 together.
Nice.
And, just wanted to give a shout-out to him because he's been extremely, extremely good to DC4, and I don't know if our past two albums could have been done without him, you know, in terms of being able to get it done and the work he put in for, you know, for so little in return, really. And we'll make it up to you one day, Bill, I promise.
There will be limousines and jets and Model D. No, I'm kidding. No, that's cool, man. That's cool. And again, treating people right, and then you surround yourself with people that treat you right. It's nice when that happens, when you shake somebody's hand, you don't have to count your fingers. I don't like dealing with people like that. You know, it's just, there was a time in my life when I thought that's all you had, that's all there were out there. But no, there's not. There's cool people.
It just takes time to weed through it all.
Absolutely. And you know, it's true too. I think, at least in my case, as I got a little older, I don't have a lot of patience for nonsense, but I don't get uptight about it. I just, I guess, experience, wisdom maybe, I know not to wade into it. You know, when I see nonsense on the horizon, I go around it. I don't have time. You know?
Yeah, I think I got to a place where I was surrounded by, you know, not really the best people, that I was like, I'm going to check myself, what's going on. You know?
Right. So, absolutely.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I went through that. You know? So
I was right there, Jeff. You know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Another life lesson, listeners, is, you know, sometimes when you party, you don't make the best decisions. Just
yeah,
saying.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, that would be a whole nother show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Three-hour show.
Oh, I'm telling you, all those funny stories weren't really that funny when they were happening. You know,
yeah.
Now they're hilarious when I look back on it, but no.
Yeah, yeah, or some stuff I'll look back on and be like, that's just gross. You know?
Right. It's so true. It's so true. I, you know, fortunately was able to pull myself out of that, you know, and a lot of friends of mine weren't, you know, they were, but they had, you know, big stents and hospitals and all kinds. I just find, you know, in my case, I was very lucky, very lucky. I kind of woke up one day and just said, hey, I've had enough of that. And, you know, and it seemed to work out, you know, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I was fortunate when I was 23 years old, I walked away from all of that completely. And I'd never touched it.
Right. Yeah, it was, you just can't, you know, and it's, you know, and I'm not saying I didn't have fun. I, you know, it seemed fun for a while, and then it seemed fun until it didn't, you know, and.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Now, we're going to close the show out. You know, Jeff, you've been such a good sport, and I really want to thank you for coming on the show and everything. You know, ladies and gentlemen, before we came on the air, I'm like, yeah, Jeff, well, this will be quick. We'll do, you know, 45 minutes or so. Here it is, an hour and 15 minutes later. I'm so sorry.
I know, man. I know. I feel like I'm having a steak dinner with you. It's fun.
I'm telling you. We'll have to – and, you know, here's the thing, too, is we will definitely hang out. My girl, Danny, has never been to Las Vegas. She's a East Coast girl, and she's never been to Las Vegas. And she's like, oh, we have to go, you know. And I'm like, yeah. I said, everything you've seen on TV and the movies, those are $5,000 a night hotel rooms. We'll be in the cheap suite at the Excalibur, but no. Maybe not at the Excalibur. It's still on the Strip. We'll be down at the Plaza. Maybe. Anyhow, but we'll definitely be out there, and we will sit down and have some food and whatnot. That'll be a fun time.
Oh, yeah. Just let me know. I'm not hard to find.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Now, the next track's the title track off the new album, Atomic Highway. Now, this is a new one you had written. You got to Vegas. You said, man, here it is. Let me ask you this. People always ask me, they see one of my paintings, and at the end of it, they're like, oh, nothing was on TV last night. You just knocked that out. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it's very easy, and it just comes very easy. It just flows out, you know. But other times, what they don't see, because they see the finished product, and what they don't see is me wanting to throw the canvas in the street and jump up and down on it because it's fighting me. And I know with songwriting, that sometimes is the case. We hear the finished product, and it sounds fantastic. When you wrote Atomic Highway, was this one that came easy, or did it fight you a little bit? Because we can't tell. It sounds perfect. I'm just curious.
Well, that one actually happened pretty quick.
Nice.
I came up with the main riff, and that one happened pretty quick. I don't remember it being a very taxing one to write. You know, it's a good fast rocker, and it all seemed to kind of come together pretty quick, that one. Other ones took a little longer. I know the song Queen of Angels, that one took a while to arrange properly, because it's kind of epic-y, you know. It has like that breakdown in the middle, and you know, because I always say the key to songwriting is to edit furiously. constantly edit because, you know, you could have a part that's really cool and then you play it too many times, it's not cool anymore. Now it doesn't have anything special to it. So it's really, if you have a cool part, man, have that statement and move on. And it's like that with the verse part, the chorus, everything, you know, it's got to make its point. And, I mean, we've all heard songs like that. Like, okay, when is this song going to end now? Which was probably a bunch of good ideas right. to begin with, but it's just, it's overdone. So I don't know if I achieve that perfectly every time, but I really try to pay attention to that sort of thing when I write.
Oh, fantastic. Well, let's play it, and we'll close the show out with it. This is Atomic Highway. And again, folks, if you head over to High Vol Music, you can pre-order this. You can pre-order this, highvolmusic.com. We have a link up there. And definitely go over to the DC4 website, theartistcard.com/DC4, the numeral 4. And like all their social media because, you know, you definitely want to keep up to date with what's going on. Very, very cool. Thank you so much, Jeff, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. I really appreciate it, man. You're awesome.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on and being interested and putting the word out. You know, we appreciate it.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. I can't wait to hear more and when we have you back on. Very, very cool. I will talk to you soon. And everybody, this is Atomic Highway DC4. Check this out.
Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.